The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
But notice he begins this chapter with major personal reflections. In other words, he gives them his heart. He puts his heart on the table, so to speak, and he slices open, cuts it open, and lays it bare for every Colossian Christian, for every Laodicean Christian, and for all the Christians at the global stage. And he lets them see his heart on the table. And what are the Apostle Paul's desires? What do we see in his heart? What do we see on the table here as he lays bare his heart to the Colossians? And this is all applicable to us this morning.
If you have children, then you can relate to how Paul was feeling when he put his heart on the table for the Colossians, to see how he really cared for their spiritual welfare. Hello, my name is Mark, and I'm your host for our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California. In this sermon, Pastor Christian explores the apostle's major personal reflections. I can imagine that Paul wept in prayer for them. You can know how he felt when your child maybe is sick or gone wayward. You would do anything to help them. Let's hear how Paul dealt with the heartache he had for them in Colossians 2, 1 through 5.
We now come to the part of our worship where we respond to the message that God has given us this morning. Turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, we'll be reading the first five verses of Colossians chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Thus far is the reading of God's word. This is the Lord's words. And may he bless it indeed in our hearing this morning. You may be seated. This is perhaps the most personal part of Paul's letter to the Colossians. The Apostle Paul in chapter 1 has made the perfect layout for the countermeasures the Colossians ought to marshal and muster against the lies and deceptions that have crept into their church. The Apostle Paul, he reminded them that they were saved since they put their faith in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he reminded them that they were secured by the hope which is laid up for them in heaven. The Apostle Paul reminded them that they were sanctified since they showed their love to all the saints. And they were reminded that they were strengthened, not by their own might, but by the might and power of the Spirit of God. And they were reminded that the Savior whom they served was none other than the image of the invisible God, first in rank of all creation, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things, visible and invisible, in whose body truly dwells the Godhead, and in whose body, by death on the cross, accomplished the reconciliation of man to God, in whom they should be loyal, and of whom they should preach, warning every man and teaching every man and woman in all wisdom. We now come to chapter 2. All of that happened in chapter 1. We now come to chapter 2 in our text this morning, and it is about, the Apostle Paul is about to give the Colossians the details of the layout that he gave them in chapter 1. But notice, he begins this chapter with major personal reflections. In other words, he gives them his heart. He puts his heart on the table, so to speak, and he slices open, cuts it open, and lays it bare for every Colossian Christian, for every Laodicean Christian, and for all the Christians at the global stage. And he lets them see his heart on the table. And what are the Apostle Paul's desires? What do we see in his heart? What do we see on the table here as he lays bare his heart to the Colossians? And this is all applicable to us this morning. Every boy and girl, man or woman, young or old, this is applicable to all of us this morning. Number one, he says that they know how great, and what is the words that he used? How great a conflict, that is a struggle, he has for them. That they know how great a struggle he has for them. Paul, what's the matter? What is the conflict, Paul? Well, to the apostle, what was happening in the church at Colossae was a very big deal if they were to believe the lies of Satan taught by the false teacher. At least one false teacher here. We'll find out that there was at least one false teacher in the Colossian church. And Paul was afraid this could become global. If they were to receive this deceit in the church, it was crucial for the Colossians to stay loyal to whom? Jesus Christ. And this really bothered Brother Paul. For the Colossians to be told that must have made a tremendous impact and should have made a big impact in their church. The bothered brother wasn't bothered by his own predicament. Why do I say that? Well, the Apostle Paul himself was imprisoned, but that didn't bother him. What bothered him? It bothered him. It struggled him. It made a great conflict in his life. The conflict of others. Others. Paul, aren't you in prison? Don't you have a lot to worry about already? Why do you care? Why do you have a great struggle for us? Because to believe the lies of Satan could mean devastating effects on the believers and the church of Jesus Christ, even on the global scale. And this is why we see the intense approach we should unleash on everything which exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians 10:5. And I want you to see the intense purpose that the Apostle Paul, the great struggle that he has, the purposeful, intentional instruction that he gave to the Colossians, and this is reminiscent, this is apparent in the teaching of the Apostle Paul, even here in 2 Corinthians 10:5. We have got to put our guards up, church, because the lies of the devils, the deceptions of the devil is here, and we need to stay alert. He says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations. Well, folks, what does that mean? And we don't necessarily use this kind of language today. What it means is to tear down, to demolish, to destroy every and any speculation, any arguments. Arguments that what? Well, arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every arrogant obstacle that people raise against the knowledge of Christ, against the Word of God, we must do what? We must demolish it. We must destroy it. We must cast it down. And then he says, and bring into captivity. That is literally to apprehend and get it arrested and handcuffed. To apprehend, to bring into captivity every and any thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I know that that is a military language right there. We are to be on the attack mode to destroy and demolish any arguments, any thoughts that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and smash it right away. Smash it right away. Wow, that's pretty intense, Apostle Paul. Yes, this is very intense. The spiritual fight is very intense. And again, this is a military language that the Apostle Paul uses here. This speaks of the preemptive attack against enemy targets. You demolish them so badly that there's no way for them to rear back up their nasty and ugly heads. Back to our text this morning in Colossians chapter 2. Not only that the Apostle Paul would have liked the Colossians to know what great struggle he had for them, we also see here that the Apostle Paul would like them to know that their hearts would be encouraged. Verse number 2, he says that their hearts might be comforted. I don't like. A couple of you are awake this morning. Good, thank you. Comforted, what does that mean? That their hearts would be encouraged. And two reasons why their hearts should be encouraged. Number one, they were, notice this, already being knit together in love. Do you see that in the text? Yes, I see that in the text. They were already being knit together in love, meaning they showed, they were united by the fact that they showed love one towards another. And you see that in chapter 1 as well. The second reason why their hearts should be encouraged is that they were already, again, I emphasize, they were already attaining to all the riches of what? The full assurance. And what is this language? What is this all about? When was the last time you used this language? You woke up this morning and say, oh, that I might attain unto all riches of the full assurance. Did you do that? I don't think so. Right? But what does this mean? I think the Apostle Paul wanted greatly to remind them that they were already attaining to all riches of the full assurance. Hey, did you know that if you're in Christ, you're rich? You're wealthy of wisdom. Jesus Christ is the epitome of all wisdom. He is the personification of wisdom. In Him is found, listen to this, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Look at verses 2 and 3 on our text. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you realize this, Christian? Do you realize this, Christian? Or are you like the woman in West Palm Beach, Florida, who died at the age of 71? The coroner's report was tragic. Cause of death, malnutrition. The dear old lady wasted away 50 pounds. Investigators who found her said the place where she lived was a veritable pig pen. The biggest mess you can imagine. One seasoned inspector declared he'd never seen a residence in greater disarray. The woman had begged food at her neighbor's back doors and gotten what clothes she had from the Salvation Army. From all outward appearances, she was a penniless recluse, a pitiful and forgotten widow. But such was not the case. Amid the jumble of her unclean, disheveled belongings, two keys were found, which led the officials to safe deposit boxes at two different local banks. What they found was unbelievable. The first contained over 700 AT&T stock certificates, plus hundreds of other valuable certificates, bonds, and solid financial securities, not to mention a stack of cash amounting to nearly $200,000. The second box had no certificates, only more currency. Lots of it. $600,000 to be exact. Adding the net worth of both boxes, they found that the woman had in her possession well over $1 million. But she died of malnutrition because she didn't use what great wealth that was available to her. Christian, there is great wealth of wisdom available to you. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this brings us to the next desire, which the apostle transparently shared with them. Look at with me, verse number 4. That they won't be deceived through what? Yeah? Persuasive arguments. Verse number 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Don't be deceived by the persuasive arguments. The Apostle Paul had some strong words. And you know this, if you've been a Christian for a while, he had strong words with regards to false teachers. He said to the Romans, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, And he says, avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. For they that are such, and he describes them, they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Christians, we need to be aware that there are those who try to divide the church of Christ by means of teaching that go against the doctrines of Christ. And they have varied reasons for this. Perhaps they want to become famous or notorious. Perhaps they want to have name recognition. Whatever their motives are, it seems that the Apostle Paul summarized them in this category. They're there for their own belly. That is, they're serving not Christ, but their own appetites. And so by their smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of the naive. The Apostle Paul says this, beware then, my friends, beware. Beware of dogs. That's what he called them. A figurative reference to the false teachers whom Paul regards just as filthy as dogs. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Not only that the Apostle Paul would have them know that he had a great struggle for them. He also wanted them to know that they were rich already in the wealth of the wisdom of Christ. He wanted them to know that they were already being knit together in love, that they were attaining to the knowledge of God already. He wanted them to know that he didn't want them to be persuaded by the false teachers. He wanted them to know that they are standing, and finally, they are standing firm in their faith in Christ. Look at verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. And what are the following words, class? Joying. And what else? Beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Listen, he's telling them, I'm not there with you physically, but I'm there with you in the spirit, rejoicing for you, cheering for you, cheering you on. In my spirit, I'm beholding, I'm seeing your order. What does that mean, Pastor Christian? That is your good order. That is your stance. Again, this is a military language here that we see. This is your order. Well, what is the order? When you see a platoon, what are they doing? They are ordering themselves in four squads. You have people standing. You have soldiers standing in four squads. There's a first squad there in the first line. And then you have the second squad in the second line. And you have the third squad. And they are in order. The Apostle Paul is saying this. You need to stay in ranks. Do not break ranks. As we move forward in the church march, he's saying to them, I'm beholding you and I'm cheering you on. Do not break the order. Don't break ranks. This is the military language that he was telling them, a cinematic military picture. The lies were like great spears or bayonet pointing against the ranks of the Colossians. Paul would have them continue in the march without breaking ranks. Be steadfast, abounding, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't break ranks. Stay in the good order. Stay and be steadfast in your faith in Christ. Church, I speak to you now this same message. Continue your good order. That is, stay in your ranks. Church, I'm rejoicing. I'm beholding your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And as your pastor, I relate with Paul in the great conflict I have for you, the great struggle I have for you. I intensely desire that your hearts would be encouraged, already being knit together in love and already attaining to all riches of the full assurance. I intensely desire that you won't be deceived through persuasive arguments of false teachers and maybe even by the voice in your own head telling you lies about the current life and ministry of Riverside Baptist Church. I intensely desire that you stand firm and stay in your ranks, in your faith in Christ. And I need every single one of you, whether you're young or old, man or woman, boy or girl, I need every single one of you to stay in your ranks as well as we all march forward in this church. Make that decision today.
One of Paul's heartaches was that they would not be beguiled by false teachers, nor to be pulled away from their steadfastness in Christ. Now that's a great and holy desire, as parents would with regards to their children. Well, my friends, I pray that if you're a Christian, you would continue to be steadfast in your faith in Christ, and that you would stay in the ranks. Thanks for listening to our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California. For times of services and more information, please visit us at our website at www.rbcsocal.com.